So altars of remembrance. If you have a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Remember, there's a deposit in this room, right? So whatever I'm saying, when you're hearing the message, keep your ears, your spiritual ears and eyes open as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, as he talks to you, as he deposits something in your life, because what he wants to do in you is the most important thing in this room. And that's why you're here, to encounter God, not to encounter me, not to encounter Dunamis, not to encounter anybody else. You're here to encounter God. That's why you're here. So this is Exodus 20 and verse 22. And thank you, Marlon. And it goes like this, and it goes a little something like this. Here it goes. 20:22, and the Lord said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. You saw for yourselves that I spoke to you from heaven. Remember, you must not make any idols of silver or gold to rival me. You know, religion is an altar to rival God. And you know that the people that Jesus had the most problem with was the religious people. Verse 24. Build me an altar made of earth and offer your sacrifices to me. So let's stop right there. He says, build an altar that's made of earth and offer your sacrifices. And the word altar and the word earth and the word sacrifices all go together. The altar speaks of a place to slaughter an animal, or the place to do the sacrifice. The earth speaks of red soil, which is the red earth, or symbolizing the blood of the sacrifice, and that's what you make it out of. And then the word sacrifice means literally to slaughter an animal. The word earth there also means husband or man. And where do we come from? Earth. When you're building an altar, remember where you've come from. But do it as a testimony. Not a place to be drugged back to, or a place to boo-hoo about. But remember it as a testimony. So all of those words mean, really, they just go hand in hand. To build an altar, a place of sacrifice. And then he says the different animals that you can use on it. But let's move forward a little bit. He says, build my altar wherever I cause my name to be remembered, and I will come to you and I will bless you. That word remembered there is a word like record. Wherever my name is recorded. Do you know where God's name is recorded? Obviously in the Word of God, but do you know where else his name is recorded? It's recorded every place that he shows up in your life. You're going to have a video reel played for you when you get to heaven, and it's because of the blood of Jesus. It's not going to be all of the bad things that you did. That's a good place to say amen. Because of the blood of Jesus, it's not going to be a highlight reel of all my difficulties and struggles and bad things. It's going to be a highlight reel of all the places God showed up. Isn't that cool? Because it's going to be a highlight reel for all of hell saying, Jesus Christ entered this man's life, and here's all the places that I showed up. And then he wants me to remember all those places that he showed up and build altars of praise and sacrifice wrapped around all the places he recorded that he showed up in my life and did something amazing. You build an altar of praise and worship where his name is recorded. And every place that you begin to remember God, he shows up. The eastern tribes of Israel, the tribe of Reuben and Gad, they decided to build an altar. And then after the tabernacle was built, they built one altar and that was it. When When Abraham and Noah build altars, they're building altars for encounter moments that they had with God. You remember when Noah comes out of the ark and he builds an altar? These encounter moments. Listen, you'd build an altar of praise after coming out of that ark. Shoveling poop for all that time and feeding all those animals and listening to them bellyache and all that. You would build an altar of praise. But even in moments like we just had this morning, where we said, God, come in and do something and fill this place up and let me empty it to you. That's the same thing as coming out of the ark, because what you're doing in that place of difficulty and struggle is shoveling all the garbage. When God's like, but if you'll come out and exchange with me, I'll deposit in you everything you need and I'll take out all the stuff you don't want. That this day today for you is an altar of remembrance. His name is being recorded in your life this morning because he's moving in you. God's trying to pull you, right? He's trying to pull all of us into a whole nother level of walking in kingdom life so that we do see miracles, signs, and wonders follow those who believe. So that we do come from a place where it's no longer all about us. See, what the church has done with programs and all the counseling and all the mixture of psychology with the Word of God is they caused our experience with God to be all about us. Because I'm trying to fix myself. And God's like, man, I want to transform you. Yeah. Shabba. It's like working on a old Toyota Tercel, trying to fix it as best you can get it, when God's like, if you'll just come over here, I have your dream vehicle just waiting to inhabit. It's how your life's gonna look right here. Why fix that when I can transform it to this over here? And that's what religion has done. And all over in the history of the church, there have been moments of breakthrough in places. Moments where altars were made, where God's name was recorded, where he did something amazing that everybody remembers. All of heaven is waiting for every recorded moment in your life. So he says, remember it. Where my name is recorded, do something right there. And so we don't build altars anymore out of all of this other stuff. He says, use the earth. We come from the earth. It's a place to remember. He says, use stones that aren't cut. Don't put your hands on what God is doing. Don't build praise and worship around what you could build or make. But just let God do it on his own. Let him bring every preparation piece for altars of remembrance into your life. Let him do what he wants to do, right? And so he says, just do that. Remember these places. And there's going to be some really amazing things that happen in you and through you if you decide. If. I say it's a big if, man. If we all decide to surrender to the Lord. And then he says, hey, listen, in Romans 12, 1, Paul takes it a whole nother direction and he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your acceptable form of worship. And so he's saying, listen, I want all of this, right? I want all of this and I want all of this and I want all of this. I want it all laid out there. And if you'll give me all of it, I'll take it and I'll record that, and I'll just begin to bring moment and moment after moment after moment of blessing into your life. Because at the last part, what he says is, I'm going to bless you. He says, I'll come to you and then I'll bless you. Now remember, those Israelites, the eastern tribes, Reuben and Gad, they made an altar that wasn't the right altar. And so the priests and everybody complained about it. And then they asked them, why did you make this altar? And they said, listen, we know this is not an altar of sacrifice for blood like what you guys are doing. We know what that altar's for. But this altar is so that you know we're part of God's family too. That we have a right also to come into the places of sacrifice, to come into the places of blessing of the Lord. You guys can't take that right away from us. They said, so this is an altar of remembrance, not for sacrifice. And they named the altar Witness. Isn't that what you're looking for, Cheryl? People to come out and witness. To come out and say, you know what? God's done so many great things in my life. Let me just tell you about it. Let me just go ahead and build an altar of worship and praise right here as I'm speaking to you, because God's done so many great things in my life. Let me build an altar of witness. Let me build an altar of testimony of who God is. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when you begin to just build altars of praise and worship in your journey and just stop and begin to thank God from where he's taken you from to where he's taken you to. You know that there's been times where I haven't felt like I had any place where I felt God was taking me to. So I just begin to prophesy where God's taking me to. I just said, God, fill my heart with some place you're taking me to, because I can't see anything right now, but you fill my heart with it and I'll speak it. And we'll see this thing get built right here and now, because Lord, I need some kind of help. I know some of you may be in that position this morning where you don't know where you're going, or you feel like there's nothing good in front of you, but you just need to say, God, fill my mouth, and you need to begin to prophesy the word of the Lord out of your mouth, where you're going, where he's taking you to. If you can't quite see it, just prophesy that thing. And then so God's like, hey, once you do this, when you remember who I am, when you come and begin to use your mouth, because, you know, the weapons of our warfare now, they're not carnal, but they're spiritual, right, for the pulling down of strongholds. And the altars that we're building now are spiritual ones that come from our hearts of remembrance and thanksgiving. And they come out in praise and worship, remembering what God has done, declaring where we're going. And he says, in that point, I will come to you and I'll bless you. See, sometimes when we're at work and there's nothing moving, or we really hate it, you just start building an altar there that comes from your heart of thanksgiving. It comes out of your mouth and you begin to build an altar there of praise and worship. And it's in that moment where God's promise is, I will come right there to that place. He'll show up at your desk. He'll show up in your office. He'll show up in your room. He'll show up in your house. He'll show up in your neighborhood. He'll show up in your car, wherever it is you decide. God, I'm going to worship you in this moment. He's going to show up. And then he says, when I do show up, it's in that moment that I'm going to bless you. See, if you're not feeling like your life is blessed, just build an altar of remembrance to the Lord with thanksgiving from your mouth. Just begin to speak and shout and praise and worship and watch the blessing of the Lord show up. Sometimes we feel like we're not walking with God, like, Lord, nothing is happening. And that's where that place of surrender comes, because it's real easy to get out ahead of God. It's real easy to sit back way behind him. It's real easy to be to the left or to the right. But when you surrender to the Lord, you come in lockstep with him and you're walking with him. And then God is with you. He's like, listen, just start praising, just start worshiping. I'm going to show up and then I'm going to bless you. And when I bless you, I'm going to bless everyone with you, everything around you, every place you go. It's just going to be blessed all the time. And just like Elijah did, Elijah built the altar expecting an encounter. And so when he built the altar, then God showed up. And remember what he was faced with, because there's many of you in this room this morning, you're faced with a lot of battle right in front of you. Wow. Somebody has been transformed. Yeah. Okay. So you know, right? I mean, this is a new day for you. I just want to say that. Don't leave here thinking the way you thought when you walked in. Because you'll go right back to it. It's an old trick of the enemy. Just to keep us thinking the same old way. He does not care, man, that we come to church. He just cares that we stay bound in church and we stay bound when we leave. Wow. But for every one of us in this room, we know there's places where we should be dead. Remember those spots. How many of you remember those places? You should have died in that moment. Should have died in that moment. I remember when me and Amber were flying and Caitlin was, my 12-year-old was 8 months old and our plane was falling out of the sky. We should have been dead. But we put our hands on the plane and something happened. That sucker hit something and just took off again. Everybody was screaming and everything. And those are those places where you're like, man, that's an altar of remembrance right there. Never forget that sucker. I remember when I was in San Francisco. No, I wasn't. I was across the bay. And I was in 1989, and the earthquake was happening, and I was standing there next to my mom, and she's shouting at the top of her lungs. It was the 89 earthquake where the bridge fell, and I couldn't even hear one word she was saying. Earthquakes that big, you don't realize. I just never knew the earth could shake like that. But it was crazy. And you're thinking, man, how did this entire apartment building not collapse? Altars of remembrance, right? Wow. I remember driving in a Chevy Silverado that my friend took from his dad. And we drove about 130 miles an hour to some railroad tracks to jump them. And boy, did we. And I don't know how we landed that thing, but that's an altar of remembrance because we should have doggone been dead, man. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I remember being at a party in Fresno where a huge fight broke out. Bullets are flying all over the place. I'm running. Yeah, I guess I'm not the only one. And I should have been dead, man. Anybody got a story in here that you remember? Anybody got a thankful heart in here that you shouldn't even be sitting in here right now? You should be someplace else. You should have been dead already. But God's like, no, I actually want to do something with you. I want to move in your life. The reason why you're still around, do you realize that if God didn't need you for anything, there's no reason for him to keep you? You know, and we get so, we always wonder, how could so-and-so have died? Dude, because they're in heaven, man, they do not want to be here. And God was like, you did a great job. I'm going to pull you out quick right now because I don't need you there anymore. You did it fast. You know, people, you know, how many of you know Dr. Miles Monroe, Kingdom Man? Yeah. Right? And he was taken out real early. It's because that guy did so much. Holy cow. He wrote so many books and did so much. And God was like, dude, you're coming home because I don't even want to leave you there anymore. What I have for you is so great and so good. Why would he even leave you there? People are like, oh, it must have been some kind of sin. Come on, man. The guy wrote more books. He opened up more of the kingdom than anybody has in our lifetime. And then God didn't even need him anymore. He's like, dude, you're 65. How did you do so much? Get up here. So you wonder, for all those who are saved, man, when they go home early, they don't want to be here. When you get a taste of heaven, come on, man. You don't want to be here. No way. So make some altars this week. Remember where you've been to create a heart of thankfulness for where you're going. Because God is with you and he wants to take you into brand new places. There's going to be more healing happen than you've ever seen in history. More wheelchairs, people coming out than you've ever seen. You will see blind eyes open in this time of history than you've ever seen in your life, than history has ever seen. You know why? Because there's going to be way more people that know how to do it. Jesus had 12, and then he sent them out, and they couldn't even cast out a demon. And he was like, oh, you have little faith. This kind doesn't come out but by fasting and prayer. But you have to remember, that was pre-baptism of the Holy Spirit. But now Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to throw the promise of the Father's coming, and then the Spirit of God's going to live in every single person, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So it's actually the Spirit of the walking, risen Jesus moving through us, the same Jesus that caused all those people to be healed, the same Jesus that multiplied all that bread and fish, the same Jesus that did that is actually living inside of you, and he just wants to get out. And you can do it. You can do it. So remember where God has brought you from, and just begin to build an altar of praise this week as you're faced with what the enemy is doing. Now, let me just give you a little nugget here. Maturity in Christ is when you can look at somebody and not see what the enemy is doing, but see what God is doing. You understand that?
Yes.
Discernment is one thing, but maturity in discernment is seeing what God is doing, which means now you have to see past the facade of the enemy.
Yes.
So if you want to see people in a different light, ask God to do that. Say this, God, mature my discernment. Because I'm getting caught up looking at everything the enemy's trying to do in people. That's just because you don't have maturity in that. If you'll get mature, you'll start seeing what God is doing past the facade. And when you begin to speak to that and prophesy to that, now you're calling destiny out of people.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So when you go to places and it's always the enemy, the enemy, the enemy, the enemy, that's just immaturity. It's all it is. We all have to go through that. But when you get mature, you stop seeing that and you see. And God wants us to see. It's easy to see what the devil's doing because he's out there in your face. But every person walking this earth has a choice to turn to Jesus. And if you'll see what they would look like once they chose, you'll be able to call them into a place of meeting the Lord, because you'll speak to who they really are, not the facade the enemy has created. It's just maturity level. That's all it is. So I just wanted to say that so you can catch that. And you begin to ask God for that. Come on, stand with me this morning. If you're part of the prayer team, come on up. We want to give you the opportunity to receive prayer today, to get prophesied over. If you've never had a prophetic word or you just need a prophetic word, we've got teams of people up here that are trained in this and know how to prophesy. They know how to minister healing. They know how to speak over your life. It's always good to get a prophetic word from a total stranger who knows nothing about you, because when it makes sense, you know it's God. So I'm going to pray over all of us. And then after that, if you want to get prayer specifically from a group that's up here, just come up and get in line and get with them, and they'll just minister over you. So let's do this. Just put a hand over your heart this morning and let's just pray together. God, we thank you for the altars of remembrance that you're bringing to us. We thank you, Lord, that this week we're going to build altars of praise and worship, expecting an encounter just like Elijah did, where your flame of fire came and just licked up the whole thing, God. We're just going to begin to worship and praise you this week, Lord. Just come, let the fire of your presence fall on us wherever we are, Lord, and you can have the whole thing. And we throw our bodies on there, God, as a living sacrifice, Lord, that you will ignite us, that you'll take us to the places that you want us to go. Lord, I'm praying for every open door that is needed in this room to be open in the name of Jesus. God, that you will cause the deposit you laid upon us to take us to the next level. Lord, that we will infiltrate all the places that you want us to. Lord, in those places that you set aside for those that hear your voice, God, there's all kinds of things that are going to be done that are only going to be done by those that can hear you. And that's the only way they're going to find out what to do. So Lord, take our hearing to another level in Jesus' name. Help us to hear you, God, because you want to speak to us, to tell us where to go, to tell us how to do what it is you want to do. So Lord, I pray that you move on that all over this place in Jesus' name. Lord, and for everybody here that just needs physical healing, if you need physical healing, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up where you are. Father, I pray you just release healing on them in Jesus' name. We speak to everybody that is hurt or sick and speak to that body to be made whole in the name of Jesus. We speak to every disease to be healed, every difficulty to be healed, all the bones, ligaments, tendons, every part of the body, God, we speak to be healed in Jesus' name, that there will be no more strongholds holding your people back of sickness, disease, or difficulty. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for moving on it. For those that are here, Lord, that need next steps, pray, Lord, that you show them what the next step is. Show them what the next step is, God. And if you're here this morning and you just need to come back to Jesus or you just need to make that commitment, then just pray this with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into this heart this morning. Father, forgive me of where I've been. I want to go where you are. And so I turn to you this morning. Lord Jesus, come into this heart. Make it yours. I'm asking you to be Lord of my life today. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.